Most of the time tomorrow and Sunday too, but it'll be mild. High tomorrow 48 to 52, the high Sunday 46, so some very mild weather coming in for the weekend. Cold air is starting to gather in western and central Canada, and it'll finally make a move toward us later next week. Once it's established, it'll be here for a while. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. We've got foggy conditions in Kenosha and 38 degrees. Some fog at the municipal airport in Burlington and 39 degrees. Foggy at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport and 39. And at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN, cloudy skies, 38 degrees with some fog. The winds are out of the northeast at 9 miles an hour, giving us a wind chill index of 31. The dew point is 36 degrees, the relative humidity 96%, and the barometric pressure is rising at 29.68. It is 13 minutes after 10 o'clock on your radio friend. We are going to have complete coverage of the inaugural addresses and the swearing-in. Vice President-elect Mike Pence is up first, coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Peter Barca, the Democratic leader, momentarily. Very apropos question on inauguration morning 2017. War. Why can't we be friends? On your radio friend. 17 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. We are waiting on Democratic Assembly Leader Peter Barca. Hope he's not a no-show like so many of his Democratic colleagues in the House of Representatives at the inauguration. Everybody just chill. I predict, and you know I am really good at predicting things, everything is going to be all right, especially after midnight. Eric Clapton on WRJN.
After midnight, talking suspicion, we gon' give an exhibition. We gon' find out where it's all about.
Where you are now? Where you are now?
Oh! After midnight, we gon' let it all hang down.
Midnight, after midnight.
After midnight.
Eric Clapton on your radio, friend. 20 minutes after 10 o'clock, after midnight in the nation's capital, regardless of where you are in the political spectrum, they're going to let it all hang down. Big protest plan in the wake of soon-to-be President Trump's inauguration. And, of course, the parties and the balls will be going on well until the wee hours of the morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is the Democratic Assembly Leader of the mighty 64th District here in Wisconsin. Please welcome back to Community Conversation Leader Peter Barca. Good morning, Mr. Leader.
Glenn, terrific to be back online with you.
Always good to hear from you. I was a little concerned, I must say, because I thought you might have been following the lead of Representative John Lewis and so many of the Democratic House of Representatives who are boycotting the inauguration. I thought you might have been boycotting WRJN today.
Never, ever would I boycott WRJN and all the great listeners you have in both the Racine and Kenosha area.
You know, we have been on the radio now between the inauguration and when Hillary Clinton was conceding to Donald Trump last November together. This we need to make this a tradition. Every monumental moment in the history of the country, we need to be on the radio together.
I agree. I tell you, it's history in the making. So it's a fascinating period that we're in now, and obviously we hope and pray for the best as Donald Trump takes the oath today. I hope he rises to the occasion and gets away from tweeting and gets into acting very presidential. That's my hope.
Yeah, well, you know, you can hope all day long, but that ain't going to happen. There's no way.
Well, you know what, though? I'll tell you something. I'm not 100% sure because I think once you put on that mantle of leadership to be the president of, you know, our country and the leader of the free world, and you have all of your top advisors who are all, you know, very accomplished individuals that are all saying, Mr. President, I think for the good of the country, I think we need to be more focused here and not worry about what Meryl Streep says, but let's worry about, you know, our nation's interests. I think he might come around. Now, that's not saying he may never tweet again, but hopefully, if anything else, maybe he'll be more balanced than that and be more focused on, you know, the main goal which he ran on, which is, you know, trying to ensure America, in my judgment, stays great. I don't think we have to make it great again. I don't think we've ever stopped being great, but...
He's not going to change, leader. He's 70 years old. He's going to have moments. He will have probably a nice moment here in the next 35 minutes or so. But he's not going to change. Let me ask you, if you were in the House of Representatives as opposed to the State Assembly, would you have followed the lead of John Lewis and boycotted this inauguration? And if not, why?
No, I would have attended. You know, I was a member of Congress and... you know, in fact, as a former member, I still could receive tickets to go. But you know, I think that as a member of Congress, you know, you're really there to represent your constituency and to be present for party history. Now, that's not to say I don't understand those that are doing that. Obviously, you know, Mr. Trump's taking the oath of office at the lowest level of popularity of anybody who's ever taken the oath because of his intemperate remarks and because of his pugnaciousness. But you have to respect the office, and you have to respect that this is an important American tradition with the transfer of power. And personally, I would have attended, but I certainly understand those that are not.
Are you driving right now?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, how about this? We're going to break for another potentially award-winning newscast from our news director, the great Tom Carco. We'll cover Mike Pence's swearing in, and then we'll get your comments on the other side. Does that sound good?
That sounds perfect, Glenn. I look forward to it.
All right, here comes the great Tom Carco on your radio friend.
Tom Carco in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather.
There is a dense fog advisory in effect all morning. Areas of fog with intermittent rain and drizzle this morning. Cloudy today, high 40. And then overcast weather tonight, a couple of showers, low 37, and likely to stay cloudy most of the time tomorrow and Sunday, too, but it'll be mild. High tomorrow, 48 to 52, the high Sunday, 46, so some very mild weather coming in for the weekend. Cold air is starting to gather in western and central Canada, and it'll finally make a move toward us later next week. Once it's established, it'll be here for a while. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. It appears that the weather is holding. In the nation's capital, there was some rain in the forecast. No umbrellas up there. We are going to be speaking with the Democratic Assembly leader, Peter Barca from Kenosha. Wonder if he will be attending that meeting later on in Kenosha. After we hear the swearing in of the new Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, Clarence Thomas, the conservative African-American Supreme Court Justice, will be doing the swearing in of Mike Pence Of course, Clarence Thomas took that African-American seat, if you will, from Thurgood Marshall, not without controversy. And now let's go to the nation's capital for the swearing-in of former Indiana Governor Mike Pence as the new Vice President of the United States.
He will be sworn in, Mike Pence, using a Bible that was used during one of the Reagan inaugurals. We talked about how Mr. Trump will be using one of the Lincoln
Ladies
Bibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, escorting the President-elect, the Staff Director for the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, Stacey McHatton McBride, the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, Frank Larkin, the House Sergeant-at-Arms, Paul Irving, the Chairman of the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, Roy Blunt, Rules Committee Ranking Member and Senate Democratic Leader Charles E. Schumer, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul D. Ryan, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi.
Little surprise, Paul Ryan doesn't have a green tie on. Rocking a blue tie for Inauguration Day 2017.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President-elect of the United States, Donald John Trump.
The President-elect, with his standard thumbs up, receiving applause from the former President, Jimmy Carter, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and the soon-to-be former president, Barack Obama, makes his way down the steps. He's got the red power tie going on. Does the soon-to-be 45th president of the United States, Donald John Trump, kisses the soon-to-be first lady, Melania, does the same to the current first lady, Michelle Obama. President Obama and President-elect Trump embrace. He shakes the hand of Vice President Biden. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We are covering the inauguration of the 45th president and soon-to-be Vice President Mike Pence, as he will be sworn in by Clarence Thomas. President Trump, or President-elect Trump, receiving a fine ovation from the hundreds of thousands gathered at the nation's capital.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chairman of the Joint Congressional Committee for Inaugural Ceremonies, the Honorable Roy Blunt.
Thank you all. If you have a seat, you can sit down. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Mr. President-elect, Mr. Vice President-elect, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States of America. Today, the legislative, the executive, the judicial branches of our constitutional government come together for the 58th inauguration of the President of the United States. Millions of people all over the world will watch and will listen to this event. 36 years ago at his first inauguration, it was also the first inauguration on this side of the Capitol, President Ronald Reagan said that what we do here is both commonplace and miraculous. Commonplace every 4 years since 1789, when President George Washington took this exact same oath. Miraculous because we've done it every 4 years since 1789, and the example it sets for democracies everywhere. Washington believed the inauguration of the second president would be more important than the inauguration of the first. Many people had taken control of a government up until then, but few people had ever turned that control willingly over to anyone else. And as important as the transfer of the first transfer of power was, many historians believe that the next election was even more important. When in 18-1, one group of people, arguably for the first time ever in history, willingly, if not enthusiastically, gave control of the government to people they believed had a dramatically different view of what the government would, should, and could do. After that election that actually discovered a flaw in the Constitution itself, which was remedied by the 12th Amendment, Thomas Jefferson, at that inauguration, beyond the chaos of the election that had just passed, said, "We are all Republicans, we are all Federalists." After 4 years of civil war, Lincoln's second inaugural speech tried to find reason for the continued war when he pointed out that both sides prayed to the same God. He'd earlier written about those fervent prayers that one side must be and both sides may be wrong. But in 1865, he looked to the future, and the memorable moment in that speech was "with malice toward none and charity for all." In the middle of the Depression, the country was told that the only thing we had to fear was fear itself. And President Kennedy talked about the obligation in democracy to country. The great question that day was, ask what you can do for your country. So we come to this place again, commonplace and miraculous, a national moment of celebration, but not a celebration of victory, a celebration of democracy. And as we begin that celebration, I call on His Eminence Timothy Michael Cardinal Dolan, Reverend Dr. Samuel Rodriguez, and Pastor Paula White Cain to provide readings and the invocation.
The prayer of King Solomon from the Book of Wisdom. Let us pray. God of our ancestors and Lord of mercy, you have made all things, and in your providence have charged us to rule the creatures produced by you, to govern the world in holiness and righteousness, and to render judgment with integrity of heart. Give us wisdom, for we are your servants, weak and short-lived, lacking in comprehension of judgment and of laws. Indeed, though one might be perfect among mortals, if wisdom which comes from you be lacking, we count for nothing. Now with you is wisdom, who knows your will and was there when you made the world, who understands what is pleasing in your eyes, what is conformable with your commands. Send her forth from your holy heavens, from your glorious throne dispatch her, that she may be with us and work with us, that we may grasp what is pleasing to you. For she knows and understands all things, and will guide us prudently in our affairs, and safeguard us by her glory. Amen.
From the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. He blesses those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. For you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on its stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Respectfully, in Jesus' name.
We come to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, with grateful hearts, thanking you for this great country that you have decreed to your people. We acknowledge we are a blessed nation with a rich history of faith and fortitude, with a future that is filled with promise and purpose. We recognize that every good and every perfect gift comes from you, and the United States of America is your gift, for which we proclaim our gratitude. As a nation, we now pray for our President, Donald John Trump, Vice President Michael Richard Pence, and their families. We ask that you would bestow upon our President the wisdom necessary to lead this great nation, the grace to unify us, and the strength to stand for what is honorable and right in your sight. In Proverbs 21:1, you instruct us that our leader's heart is in your hands. Gracious God, reveal unto our President the ability to know the will, your will, the confidence to lead us in justice and righteousness, and the compassion to yield to our better angels. While we know there are many challenges before us, in every generation you have provided the strength and power to become that blessed nation. Guide us in discernment, Lord, and give us that strength to persevere and thrive. Now bind and heal our wounds and divisions, and join our nation to your purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The psalmist declared, let your favor be upon this one nation under God. Let these United States of America be that beacon of hope to all people and nations under your dominion, a true hope for humankind. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're listening to your radio friend, WRJN. We are covering the inauguration of Donald Trump and the soon swearing in of soon-to-be Vice President Mike Pence. This is Glenn Klein. We are also speaking with the Democratic leader of the State Assembly here in Wisconsin, Leader Peter Barca. Leader, are you still with us? Leader Barca? Well, we'll listen to the choir music and see if we can get Leader Barca back for his comments before we hear the swearing in of Mike Pence.
Feed longing. fills the day.
Once we were strangers,
once we were strangers, we
Fourteen minutes until 11 o'clock on Inauguration Day 2017. This is Glenn Klein. Leader Barca had to step into a meeting, but we are joined by the former executive director of the Republican Party, Brandon Scholes. Brandon, you've been watching the festivities in the nation's capital.
Oh, of course I have, Glenn. I mean, you know, regardless of where you come down on this election, you know, the transfer of power, a new president being sworn in, you know, these are historic times in our country. And, you know, if you've got the time that you can watch and that you can listen, it's well worth it. I've been to two of them. I was to Clinton's and to Bush's. And, you know, they're pretty amazing events.
I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people there gathered on the Mall in the nation's capital. I love this stuff. I didn't have a horse in the race, and I've got issues with both political parties, as the listeners know. But this is such a magnificent country, and this represents so much of what we're about. For me, if you've got a soul, and everybody does, it's hard not to be moved by something like this.
Oh, I, of course. I mean, you know, play on the words pomp and circumstance. You know, there's just so much tradition. What we've seen today is a lot of respect between the president-elect as they transfer and as they meet, the coming together of past presidents. There's just so much that happens today. Tomorrow's a different story, but today, for these moments, it really is pretty special in our country. It just cries of democracy and tradition and honor.
I cannot say anything but amen, which is pretty appropriate given the prayers that we just heard. Senator Roy Blunt has rejoined the microphone in the nation's capital. He is emceeing the inauguration of Mr. Trump. And here comes Chuck Schumer, the new minority leader in the U.S. Senate.
Americans, we live in a challenging and tumultuous time, a quickly evolving, ever more interconnected world. A rapidly changing economy that benefits too few while leaving too many behind. A fractured media. A politics frequently consumed by rancor. We face threats, foreign and domestic. In such times, faith in our government, our institutions, and even our country can erode. Despite these challenges, I stand here today confident in this great country for one reason, you, the American people. We Americans have always been a forward-looking, problem-solving, optimistic, patriotic, and decent people. Whatever our race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, whether we are immigrant or native-born, whether we live with disabilities or do not, in wealth or in poverty, we are all exceptional in our commonly held yet fierce devotion to our country and in our willingness to sacrifice our time, energy, and even our lives to making it a more perfect union. Today we celebrate one of democracy's core attributes, the peaceful transfer of power. And every day we stand up for core democratic principles enshrined in the Constitution, the rule of law, equal protection for all under law, the freedom of speech, press, religion, that the things that make America America. And we can gain strength from reading our history and listening to the voices of average Americans. They always save us in times of strife. One such American was Major Sullivan Ballou. On July 14, 1861, when the North and South were lining up for their first battle, a time when our country was bitterly divided and faith in the future of our country was at a nadir, Major Ballou of the 2nd Rhode Island Volunteers penned a letter to his wife, Sarah. It is one of the greatest letters in American history. It shows the strength and courage of the average American. Allow me to read some of his words, which echo through the ages. My very dear Sarah, he wrote, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. If it is necessary that I should fall on the battlefield for my country, I am ready. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how strongly American civilization now leans upon the triumph of the government, and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the revolution. And I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay that debt. Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me to you with the mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence can break. And yet, my love of country comes over me like a strong wind and bears me irresistibly on with all these chains to the battlefield. Sullivan Ballou gave his life on the battlefield a week later at the first battle of Bull Run. It is because Sullivan Ballou and countless others believed in something bigger than themselves and were willing to sacrifice for it that we stand today in the full blessings of liberty in the greatest country on earth. And that spirit lives on in each of us, Americans whose families have been here for generations and those who have just arrived. And I know our best days are yet to come. I urge all Americans to read Ballou's full letter. His words give me solace, strength. I hope they will give you the same. Now, please stand while the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas, administers the oath of office to the Vice President of the United States.
Place your hand on the Bible. Place your hand. The Bible. Mr. Vice President-elect, would you raise your right hand and repeat after me? I, Michael Richard Pence, do solemnly swear.
I, Michael Richard Pence, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
And Mike Pence, the former governor of Indiana, is now the Vice President of the United States. This is WRJN, your radio friend. We are covering the inauguration of the 45th President, Donald Trump. His swearing-in by Chief Justice John Roberts is coming right now. Mike Pence embracing his family, getting the well wishes of the soon-to-be President, Donald Trump. The crowd applauding at the Nation's Mall. If you listen carefully, I believe you can hear the protesters that must be some distance away from the ceremony, but they were loud during Chuck Schumer's comments. Right now, Mike Pence is greeting the former vice president, Joe Biden and the soon-to-be former Vice President Barack Obama. This is an historic moment, needless to say. Now, Vice President Pence shakes President-elect, soon-to-be President Donald Trump's hand, and the swearing-in of the 45th President is about to happen. On your radio friend.
The Mormon Tabernacle Choir, accompanied by the President's own United States Marine Band.
WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
It's 11 o'clock, and we are covering the inauguration of President soon-to-be Donald Trump. It is 12 o'clock on the East Coast. Mr. Trump is officially president. And now Chief Justice John Roberts takes the podium. The soon-to-be president waves to the crowd. There's the soon-to-be First Lady, Melania, Mr. Trump's family surrounding him.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability,
and will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend.
preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
And it is done. With the protesters being heard in the background, President Donald Trump. President Trump shakes the hand of President Obama, former President Obama now, former President Joe Biden. The protesters are clearly able to be heard in the background. The president waves to the crowd, fist pumps. Melania has both Bibles that President Trump was sworn in with, shakes the hand of Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri. This is Glenn Klein. We're covering President Trump's inauguration and his inaugural address. Here is the traditional 21-gun salute. And what a moving spectacle.
What a great honor to be able to introduce for the first time ever anywhere the 45th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. Chief Justice Roberts, President Carter, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, fellow Americans, and people of the world, thank you. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Together, we will determine the course of America and the world for many, many years to come. We will face challenges. We will confront hardships. But we will get the job done. Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. And we are grateful to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama for their gracious aid throughout this transition. They have been magnificent. Thank you. Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning, because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. That all changes, starting right here and right now, because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you.
It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017, will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge. And the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. We are one nation. And their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. And spent trillions and trillions of dollars overseas, while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. We've made other countries rich, while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores, with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed all across the world. But that is the past, and now we are looking only to the future. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down. America will start winning again, winning like never before. We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders. We will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams. We will build new roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways all across our wonderful nation. We will get our people off of welfare and back to work, rebuilding our country with American hands and American labor. We will follow two simple rules: buy American and hire American. We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world. But we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America, and through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. Finally, we must think big and dream even bigger. In America, we understand that a nation is only living as long as it is striving. We will no longer accept politicians who are all talk and no action, constantly complaining, but never doing anything about it. The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. Do not allow anyone to tell you that it cannot be done. No challenge can match the heart and fight and spirit of America. We will not fail. Our country will thrive and prosper again. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the Earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. It's time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget, that whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. We all enjoy the same glorious freedoms, and we all salute the same great American flag. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky, they fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same Almighty Creator. So to all Americans, in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. And your courage and goodness and love will forever guide us along the way. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you. God bless America.
And with a final fist pump, the inaugural address of the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. He shakes former President Obama and former President or Vice President Biden's hands, Chuck Schumer, the minority leader of the Senate, Chief Justice John Roberts, who administered the oath of office. This is Glenn Klein. I'm your radio friend, WRJN. Wow. Well, it was something. He waves to the crowd right now. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, catch up with the rest of the world's news, and then I'll have much more to say about this very unique inaugural address by President Trump.
During the Home Depot's Winter Rethink Kitchen and Bath event, save on a Home Depot exclusive, the Pfister Venturi Widespread Bath.
All morning. Areas of fog with intermittent rain and drizzle this morning. Cloudy today, high 40. And then overcast weather tonight, a couple of showers, low 37. And likely to stay cloudy most of the time tomorrow and Sunday too, but it'll be mild. High tomorrow, 48 to 52. The high Sunday, 46. So some very mild weather coming in for the weekend. Cold air is starting to gather in western and central Canada, and it'll finally make a move toward us later next week. Once it's established, it'll be here for a while. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. We have foggy conditions throughout southeast Wisconsin. It's 38 in Kenosha, 37 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 39 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN. Some fog, 39 degrees, visibility at 3/4 of a mile. The wind is out of the east at 6 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index of 35. The dew point is at 37. The relative humidity, 92%. And the barometric pressure is steady as she goes at 29.69. It is 28 minutes after 11 o'clock. It is an hour of power. And we acknowledge that knowledge is power. And we got a whole heck of a lot of it. And the inaugural address by President Trump. I'll have much more to say about it after the great Tom Carco's news at the bottom of the hour. But regardless of what you think about President Trump, which side of the political divide you are on, what political party you do or do not belong to, I am here to tell you that I am proud to be an American. And yes, God has blessed the USA. And on this historic day, here's Lee Greenwood.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Lee Greenwood on your radio, friend. Proud to be an American? This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. The great Tom Carco is up with your Thank God It's Friday Hour of Power news update momentarily.
After 77 years serving Racine, Nelson's Variety Stores are closing their doors. That means Nelson's...
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole... Courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Oh, 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 of the red, white, and blue. Oh, 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 of my red, white, and blue.
Well, he performed it yesterday at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial in the nation's capital. And now he just did it on your radio friend, Toby Keith, on WRJN. This is Glenn Klein. It is 17 minutes until high noon on a Thank God It's Friday, Inauguration Day, 2017. And the response on social networking right now is absolutely what you would expect. The more patriotic, the more you liked President Trump's inaugural address, the more anti-Trump you are. One of my friends, who I know quite well, I just saw him said, this is the beginning of the end. Paul, get a grip. I think one of the most striking moments in the inaugural address by the 45th president was when he said that we were going to wipe Islamic radical terrorism off the face of the earth. And then soon after that, they panned to the face of former President Obama. And you could just see the cascade of despair because, see, Obama would never say that. He would never say Islamic terrorism for his own strategic reasons. I'm not going to jump on the former president right now, but that is just the beginning. In the first address as president, President Trump uses the term Islamic radical terrorism, or radical Islamic terrorism. It was a very muscular speech. It was a very unrealistic speech. He announced that the scourge of drug abuse in this country was going to be over, that violence from gangs was going to be over. Whatever happened to under-promise and over-perform? Wow. And you could hear the protesters in the background. They've got to be miles away from the Capitol steps where the inaugural ceremony was. But if you're an open, beautiful human, how can you not be moved by the peaceful transfer of power? And now, of course, they have lunch and then the inauguration parade and the protests will go on tonight and tomorrow in the nation's capital, and we go on. That is what happens, ladies and gentlemen. We obviously have never seen this before. We've never had a president who did not have an experience with political office or serve in the military before. Now we have a multi-billionaire reality TV star with his beautiful family, and Melania just looked absolutely stunning. If you did not see it yet, that's worth going back and watching the replay for. Wow. And he's got a gorgeous family. President Bill Clinton was there with the former Secretary of State and the Democratic nominee, Hillary Rodham Clinton, who Donald Trump defeated. She did not look happy. But, I mean, he went right after the jugular, President Trump did, right in front of all those Democrats and President Obama and Vice President Biden. And they've got to be in a little bit of a state of shock, the former inhabitants of the White House. Right now at the White House, there's hundreds of people setting up the house for the Trumps. What can you imagine that? They've got 5 hours to get the Obamas out and the Trumps in. You think you're having a tough day? This is Glenn Klein. I'm enjoying it. Man, I love this stuff. I love the history. I love the tradition and the ceremonial aspects of it. And it was all there. And he did reach out and he was fine. But if you are not a supporter of Donald Trump or if you are concerned, I would say, quoting number 12, Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax. This is a Thank God It's Friday Hour of Power. The information is going to continue flowing with this day in history, the Rewind feature. Let's see what else has happened throughout January 20th. A lot of inaugurations happen. It will be preceded by Charles Osgood's file. Do not touch that dial.
This is the Micro Essentials Minute, where we dig deeper with the agronomy experts at the Mosaic Company.
Increased application.